It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The New York Knicks restored a feeling in the Garden. The world's most famous arena looked the part tonight. The Indiana Pacers better watch Hoosers on that flight or something and get right, because I just heard the stat that 82% of the time, when you win that game right there and you go up 3-2, you're in a good spot to advance. We won't touch the money, but take a deep breath and then exhale and understand that you don't need nine guys. You just need a bunch of dudes and dogs ready to do damage. Shout out to the coach, Tom Thibodeau, and all the pundits that still keep saying that, oh, he ran these guys into the ground. It's so corny, man. Hit refresh on your information. If you haven't watched the Knicks, just say that. Just say that, Chandler Parsons. Had Draymond Green at the halftime looking real dumb, trying to crack a smile. What I say is, man, it's a series. And every game of a series is different. And obviously they knew the last game was over in the first quarter, and it was smart to get guys off their feet. It was smart to get guys out of that game and understand, hey, it's a series. Okay, series is tied up. You might win some, but you just lost one. You lost back-to-back. Completely different games. Friday night, the Knicks should have won. Sunday, they got blown out. But this isn't Gainsbridge Fieldhouse. I know I've been calling it Bankers Life Fieldhouse. That's what it used to be called. Man, the difference between Indiana and the Garden is day and night. The way that the Garden is lit up, the way that the Garden is behind this team and these guys and the way that they respond, that's the response you're looking for. You can get smoked. You can get blown out. You know what? It reminded me of last series, how they responded to game five, losing that game. And then they came out with the right energy right away in game six against the Sixers. You knew tonight in that first half, I mean, Brunson had 28 in the first half. He had 18 in the second. You knew in that first half, in that first quarter, they go on a 17-5 run. Okay. Deuce McBride starts. Shout out to Miles McBride, Deuce McBride, the pride of West Virginia. You saw him start in the second half of the last game. Obviously, Tommy T went to work and was cooking up and said, you know what, we'll play a little small ball. Shout out to the Yankees playing a little small ball. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, watching this Knicks game, it didn't matter if they put Nimrod, McConnell, Naismith. It didn't matter who they put on Jalen Brunson. This guy's got five 40-point games in these playoffs. He's looking for another one to tie Bernard King with six. So yeah, you can keep calling and saying, is this guy the greatest pickup in Knicks history? Is he one of the greatest free agent signings in New York sports? Yeah, because the book is still out. He's about to will them to the Eastern Conference Finals. This is real life. This is real. 877-337-6666. That fake tough guy, it doesn't work. Miles Turner. It doesn't work. Isaiah Jackson. Where do you think they're at? Where do you think you are? You're in New York, in the middle of the Garden, surrounded by New Yorkers. Hey, cut the tough guy stuff. They're not going for it. Delaware Jordan is like that. He's got some bounce. He's dunking on him, hanging on the rim. Josh Hart is like that. But you already know this. Josh Hart is going to go out there. 39 minutes. Got the bench some minutes tonight. Josh Hart is going to go out there, and he's going to score the basketball. He's going to run around. He's going to get 11 rebounds, couple assists, Euro stepping in the paint. Man, Isaiah Hartenstein, Stephen A. Smith. Oh, now I got to watch some guy named Isaiah Hartenstein. Yeah, watch him. 17 boards. Board man gets paid. He was out rebounding their whole team. Watching that game tonight, I'm just like, man, the difference a couple days makes, our takes, our thoughts, the worry, the angst, and even being on Twitter live tweeting the game, Knicks fans thought that they were going to blow that lead in the second half. You guys have too much PTSD, too much trauma. You can't believe that this is real. You can't relax. You can't enjoy the fact that the core of this team, the Villanova 3, those guys are champions. They play with heart. Two hearts. I Heart and Josh Hart. Puns intended. They have a championship pedigree that you can see. They go out there and they're playing to win. 877-337-6666. They're the better team than the Pacers. The Pacers can run nine guys. It doesn't matter. Just a little switch up here. Okay, no OG. All right. Well, their all-star point guard, who started in the All-Star game because it was in Indiana, Tyrese Haliburton, where you at? He was a minus 22 on the floor in 34 minutes. 13 points, he was in jail. McBride locked him up. Come on, bro. I mean, I'm going to bring in some calls to talk about it so I don't have to talk about it. It's just easy to see. These guys don't care. They play 4-on-5. They don't make excuses for themselves. No Julius Randle. All right. No OG? Yeah, it's fine. Mitchell Robinson done? Tough. We'll hold it down for you, Mitch. Boyan dropped? Whatever. You play to win the game. Hello? 877-337-6666. I just was impressed by the performance. I was impressed by the response after getting their doors blown off on Mother's Day. Brunson's foot is fine. I don't know if they have a special shot that only exists in Madison Square Garden. I don't know if maybe getting him off his feet Sunday was the rest that he needed, as I've heard multiple calls to WFAN about, they should have rested him game three. Excuse me, say what? This is the playoffs. Playoffs, this is the playoffs, bro. You have to win these games. It's a series. It's the first to four. This guy is the best player on the court. If he's ready to go, you don't just concede a loss and sit him. And now I think they really do have a shot because, I mean, not a shot, but they have a shot to end this in six going back to Indiana, going back to Gamebridge Fieldhouse, because those fans are shook. They cried in the beginning of the series to get the whistle. And, I mean, Scott Foster and those guys tonight, they were reviewing everything. Let's make sure we get this right, fellas. Let's go to the video board, stop the game, and make sure we're correct. I don't want to hear from Rick Carlisle. 877-337-6666. And the Yankees win. The Yankees are good. No complaints. Don't call me complaining about anything. Do not say anything about Rodon. There's nothing to complain about with this guy. Okay? Last year was last year. I don't care about the solo shot that he gave up. If you watch this man pitch so far this year, how many times do we hear, well, this whole Yankee season depends on the performance of Carlos Rodon? It doesn't, but he's been pretty solid. He's not walking guys. He looks like a different pitcher. Six strikeouts for him. He goes six innings. After giving up that first bomb, he settled right in. And, you know, I mentioned the small ball that the Knicks were playing, running out there with, three guards. The Yankees had some small ball early in the game. All right, we go down 1-0. No problem. Austin Wells, single. Volpe, double. Bunch of singles in between there. And we'll talk about the Yankees later on. But it's a Knicks night. Obviously, the Knicks get the win. They go up in the series. I think you can exhale a little bit. Obviously, nobody's touching the money. I talked last night about this season is a success no matter what happens in the next two or three games. And it's definitely a success now. They're not facing elimination in game six. The Pacers' backs are against the wall. And they've got a lot of soft bodies over there. They've got a lot of dudes that I could tell. They're just not really like that. 877-337-6666. Ben from Brooklyn, you were at the game?
Yes, I was. It was incredible. The atmosphere was absolutely buzzing. It was the best I've seen the Knicks play in my lifetime. I'm 26 years old. And, I mean, the passing, the intensity, the offensive rebounds, everything from start to finish, even when we were down 10 in the beginning, it was just ridiculous. So I was thrilled.
I'm not going to ask you how much your ticket was, but was it worth the price of admission tonight?
I would absolutely say so, especially because I was gifted a ticket.
Good. Even better. A free ticket and you go see a win.
Yes, that's true. And, I mean, just watching Brunson, just how locked in he is. Even, you know, a couple turnovers in the beginning, it doesn't faze him. I mean, you see how depleted our roster is. We're bringing in players that, you know, I feel like most Knicks fans haven't even heard of in the last few minutes of the game. And it's good to know that, you know, they exist. They're in the NBA. So it was just euphoric. You know, from start to finish, I was thrilled.
Thanks for the call, Ben. I'll say this, right? The mentality that the core of the team has is the mentality of the entire team. I've also heard multiple calls to the fan about, you know, the OG Anunoby trade, man. I don't know about it. Oh, now you don't know about it? Oh, well, we would have liked to have RJ and IQ on this team. No. There's no going back to that, right? They took those two guys out of the locker room, and they've become this. This is Jalen Brunson's team and Dante DiVincenzo's team and Josh Hart's team, and they follow those guys' lead. 877-337-6666. Josh is in Passaic on the fan. What's up, Josh?
How much, Keith? How you doing?
Good. You know, just looking at the box score, seeing how the Knicks dominated the boards. Boardman gets paid. Did you watch the game tonight, or you passed on
I
that?
I did, until there was a few minutes left and my father closed the computer.
Yeah. You know, the Knicks haters aren't having a good run. Nationally, all of the pundits that have been hating on the Knicks, they're not having a good night. Locally, the Nets fans and other fans of, I don't know, the Heat, the Lakers, the Celtics, whoever, they're not really feeling this Knicks run. They don't want to believe it, but it's real life. It's true.
And a few things. At first, the Knicks outshot the Pacers by pretty much 30 shots. And there was more than just the offensive rebounds. The Pacers were turning the ball over. And the Knicks just kept on getting shots off, getting the rebound. Hartenstein was a monster. And you put up a lot of shots. That's what happens. If the percentage-wise, the Knicks didn't shoot, I think they might have shot 2% better than the Pacers. That's where the offensive rebounds come in. And what happened to that Pacers defense that was stifling the Knicks on Sunday? They seemed to have forgot to play defense, and they couldn't rebound.
Sunday, you know, and as I was watching this game, I'm like, Sunday, you can't just – they clearly – erased it from memory. We should as well, because that wasn't a real game. They blew their doors off so quickly. Everyone knew the game was over and was like, all right, we can't even look at those stats from Sunday. I was only watching to see if TJ McConnell cashed my double-double bet. Man, looking at this game tonight, I saw Chris Herring wrote, the Knicks become the first team since 2012 to have more offensive rebounds than their opponent has total rebounds in a half. Like, that's how they were dominating them in the first half. Bully
and
ball.
And then Alec Burks is looking like him and Bogdanovich are not looking like such a bad trade anymore. And I know Bogdanovich is out, but they finally played Burks. He can hit shots. And what I loved also is that I didn't really like when they had a Chua in the starting lineup, because you had two guys that couldn't shoot. So you're able to cover Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo a little more from the three line. They put McBride in. That gives you more shots. They can't just double you, and it worked out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter if they double him. That's why I was just looking at Brunson. I'm like, he was putting these guys in the blender. You could send two at him, and anybody you send one-on-one is barbecue chicken. The guy is on his home floor. He knew what he had to do tonight. And, yeah, the move to put Miles McBride in, man, they pulled his. As soon as I saw that, I saw, like, Fred Katz and Christian Winfield tweet that Miles McBride was starting, and I tried to go, you know, bet on him to score over 15 points. FanDuel pulled it. I'm like, okay, well, the Knicks are going to win tonight just with that little tweak. And then Alec Burks, like you said, he's a veteran, bro, right? He's played in the Garden. The moment is not too big for him, but he has to get reps. Now he's been getting reps in this series. So you're starting to see the guy find his shot tonight. If you would have put $5 on him to be the leading three-point scorer, to have five threes and lead all, you know, shooters in the game, that would have been cash.
Yeah, And then let's see also if the Knicks game dictates the Rangers. Ever since game two, it's been like that. But I wonder, though, Keith, I was watching, it was on YouTube, the Boomer and Geo episode on Friday, right after the Rangers game three win. And Geo said that, oh, the series is over, don't worry about it. And Boomer's like, no, don't say it. He's like, no, it's over, it's over. So let's see if that Geo curse might be a real thing. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see that, but I know a lot of us were, I didn't touch the money, but a lot of us were looking at the Rangers starting off undefeated, sweeping the Capitals and going up 3-0, saying there's no way the Carolina Hurricanes win four in a row. But now, I don't know, we'll see. I don't think the Knicks and Rangers have anything to do with each other besides that they share the Garden. The Rangers got to go down there and handle business. It should be Rangers in six.
You can only wonder if it'll be like South 2.0 for the Mets. And with those Mets, ooh, another brutal game, right? How much games are we going to start this? Like, well, we keep looking at the scoreboard. One inning goes by, no hits,
perfect,
not even a
game
walk.
Through five, right. Six almost.
Who's got no hits Friday night? And McNeil wasn't even in the lineup tonight. He actually got a hit when he came in. And
yeah,
Marte, who actually hadn't been liking, he's of the Mets pretty much every day star since the beginning of the year. JD Martinez only came a few weeks ago, so I'm not counting him. Marte is batting the highest at 260. Taylor's batting 270, but he doesn't really play. Then all the rest of the guys, Nimmo's like 220, Lindor's like 200, Alonzo's 210. This team's supposed to be a team that hits, and the problem with manufacturing runs is is that it takes a few hits, and they're just not getting runs the other way around. And it showed, and another shutout. The Mets haven't shut out any other teams. They walk too many batters, and hopefully they can recover and going to Philly tomorrow and maybe try to get a game back. But if they could get whoever the pitcher is, he's 7-0 with a 1.50 ERA. So you might be seeing that again a few innings without a hit. Keith, thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Yeah, no problem. Mark Vientos will fix all of that. It'll be fine. At least you got rid of Joey Wendell. At least you don't have to watch Joey Wendell play anymore. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I don't know. This little home-and-home series that the Mets have with the Phillies, you know, I was thinking today, you can't give it away. You can't walk guys, hit by pitch guys. Alec Boehm, hit by pitch again, leads to runs. I don't know. We'll talk about the Mets a little later. Knicks fans are on the line. Let's enjoy the win. Jay Stanford was at the game. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, just driving back from the Garden, man. Like, what incredible vibes, the Garden. I mean, really from the jump. I mean, I felt like the fans, you know, at times can play such an important role in kind of changing the dynamic of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But what really was incredible tonight was the 50-50 plays. I felt like there were so many of those plays tonight where, you know, between Hartenstein, Hart, DiVincenzo, you got to love Devo getting right in the face of Miles Turner. I mean, after Turner comes out, hits three threes, what, in the first 4 minutes to start the third quarter. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, the Garden is just different, man. As you see all the celebrities and all the New York famous people sitting courtside and the fans going nuts, you just realize, like, that environment is a tough environment for anyone to come into and dominate, for anyone to come in and play. I just saw a quote that echoes what I was saying about their fake tough guys. Dante DiVincenzo was asked about the altercation with Miles Turner. He said they're trying to be tough guys. That's not their identity. Like, the Knicks in that building with the whole fan base behind them, it's different, man. It makes you understand, like, home court advantage and the world's most famous arena, like, what that actually is compared to somewhere like Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Yeah, and you look at tonight, I mean, look at the way Devo was guarding Halliburton, and just incredible energy on the defensive end. And then, look, the big question is, you know, can it, you know, if there is a game seven, can OG come back? Is it enough time?
I did see that he's doing some light court work, but I wouldn't. Thanks for the call, Jay. Love to hear from you guys that were at the game that can explain what the atmosphere was like and, you know, seeing it with your own eyes. I'm watching Spike Lee in his puffy Jalen Brunson vest and Fat Joe, and shout out to Ronnie Feig and everyone else from Carmelo to Noriega. I forget who else I saw. You guys know the usual suspects in there. Nowhere else has it like the Garden. Even like the Lakers, when they're going through it, they have like Jack Nicholson. It's just not the same. And you got the whole country watching, and you can tell that a lot of people across the country are rooting for the Knicks to fail. And after they got smacked on Mother's Day, there's a lot of people saying, oh, the tide has turned. Nah, nah, not when those Indiana boys got to come back to New York. And I expect the Knicks to have better energy, more focus going back to Indiana. And I expect this game six in Indiana to look more like the Friday night game, game three, than it looked for, game four on Mother's Day. 877-337-6666. 44 points for Brunson. That foot was fine. And like I said, Naismith, Nembhard, McConnell, it did not matter. None of those guys could check him. Nobody could check him the whole series, really. But, you know, when he was banged up and when the game got away, it is what it is. But this guy is putting the team on his back. I said last night when I was on, there's a video that was circulating of him talking to, like, Pascal Siakam and then looking at the Pacers like, it's a long-ass series. Like, that's a guy on a mission. That's a guy telling you, like, this series isn't over. Now it is a best out of three, and they just took one. And you feel like with the Garden on your side, all right, even if they lose a close game in Indiana, or let's say somehow they get blown out in Indiana again, which I just doubt, man, watching this game, the momentum has swung back in favor of the New York Knicks. Peter is in Waterbury, Connecticut on the Fan in New York. What's up, Pete?
Hey, it's the Bear Man.
My guy, what's up?
Yeah. First, with the Knicks, as long as they keep their home protected and win, they got it. It's going to be them in Boston. Then when it comes to Boston, they got to take one on the road. That's all it's got to do. And the only thing I was wondering is, why did he keep Brunson? He could have given Brunson a little bit more rest at the end of the game.
That goes back to, you know, to Tom, even though they had a 31-point lead at one point, like, he, until they feel like they're safe, which no lead is safe, guys are going to be in there. And Brunson, it was fine. I didn't think too much of it. He played 43 minutes, and he probably didn't want to come out of the game. So I think he's good, though. Like I said, I don't know what it is with the foot. They haven't exactly told us what it is with the foot. But he didn't look like he was favoring the foot at all tonight.
Yeah, well, he did his thing. He got his 40. But 40 plus even. But, he could have kept them out a little bit more. But, hey, he did his thing. And the whole team just came to do what they do and gel. And
they dominated them. They dominated them. And I just think that it's demoralizing for the Pacers. The Pacers, if you're the Pacers and you know, your best player, your all-star, has shrunk in Madison Square Garden. And you're only able to win in Indiana, and you only have one game left in Indiana. It's almost like inevitable.
Yep. Well, they're going to do it. I mean, it's going to be 7 down, 9 to go. And if before this series is over, it's going to be 8-8. And that's where they're going. I think they can go all the way to the top.
Yeah, another stat that you got to point out. The turnovers, they smothered them. The Pacers had double the turnovers that the Knicks had. They had 18 turnovers to the Knicks' 9.
Right.
Just giving the ball up.
Yep. And getting to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I don't know if you heard the other day that they won 10 of their first 13 series. The last time they did that, they've done that I think you've done that 13 times.
Yeah, I keep going back to 2022. Like, I hear all that stuff, and I try not to repeat it because in 2022, we did that. We compared them to all of the great Yankee teams that won at this pace, how many series they won, how many games out of whatever games they've won, and then that came crashing down. What I'll say, Pete, is this is a good team, and this is a team that you can tell these guys like each other, right? Sitting Gleyber Torres down worked. Gleyber comes out, hits a home run. The whole team is there to greet him. Then you get a two-hit game out of Gleyber Torres. Verdugo is back at it. There's no issue with Giancarlo Stanton. He's got 9 homers. He's doing what he's supposed to do, batting .236. I'm fine with that. Volpe has obviously adjusted to being a leadoff hitter, and now he looks to be back to where he was in the beginning of the year. They're rounding into form, and help is on the way. Jason Dominguez was in a rehab start tonight. Tommy Canley pitched tonight. Gerrit Cole is throwing bullpen sessions. DJ LeMahieu is supposed to start rehab games later in this week. Like, it is the right time because we are in the middle of May, and I have been dreading this June schedule. I've been talking about it since the beginning of the year. If you go look at who the Yankees have to play in June, they need Cole back. They need Dominguez back, and they need to be playing their best baseball. They are now in first place, ladies and gentlemen. First place Yankees. They're handling business.
Yep. And but back to that. Every time they've done that, they've either won the series or at least the pennant. They've never gone worse than a pennant. So
they got to do it this year. It's been too long. It's been 15 years since they won the pennant, won the World Series. Both should happen. We need it. We know that's the focus. That's the whole goal. Thanks for the call, Pete. All in, hell bent on being a champion. And it's the New York Yankees. They built their brand off of 27-time world champions. It seemed like they stopped talking about Chase for 28. A decade and a half goes by, but you get Juan Soto, you get Alex Verdugo, you have Aaron Judge, you have Giancarlo Stanton, Volpe, some of these other pieces. We all know what it is, man. It's good to see them clicking and having fun and playing baseball the right way. It isn't just the Bronx Bombers, home run or nothing. Like I mentioned, you know, the small ball, just guys getting up there against the starting pitcher and just hitting singles. And we'll take a sac fly and a Volpe double and then Stanton smash. And the Yankees win 5-1. So 877-337-6666. The Yankees hold it down. The Knicks hold it down. Just when we thought New York was melting, folding under pressure. Nah, we're right here. We're right here. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. 877-337-6666. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night. We'll break right here. I see Knicks fans calling. I see some Rangers fans calling, obviously, because it's on you next, blue shirts. It's on you now, Rangers. The Knicks handle business, so we wait to see if the Rangers can advance. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Yager to the empty net. Score! Yager fills the empty net. And the Rangers lead 4-2.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Obviously, like, this guy has gotten this nightly award 30 times this year. It's Jalen Brunson. His foot is fine. Not worried about a sore foot. The guy goes out there again, and everybody's saying, oh, he's going to have another 40-point performance. Heard you. 44. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can check him. They can send two guys at him. They definitely shouldn't send one guy at him because he's putting all these guys on highlight reels. On a night where the Knicks absolutely needed their superstar, and I repeat, superstar in this NBA, to come out there and lead the way, he drops 44 points on him, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, hits 2 threes, and the Knicks win to take a 3-2 lead going back to Indiana. And I think most Knicks fans tonight are happy with this squad and the 7 guys that they deployed, and then obviously the rest of the guys off the bench. But again, this is Jalen Brunson's team. This guy won 2 chips at Villanova with the 2 guys, Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, right next to him. Their championship pedigree runs through this team. They would play the Pacers 4-on-5 if they had to. They do not care. They are not listening to Draymond Green talk about, oh, this is a fluke year. Oh, yeah, this is a setup for the Knicks to get jammed up. Draymond, your run is over. Draymond, you missed half the season. I don't even want to go in on Draymond. But you understand what I'm saying. Jalen Brunson, Casamigos' big shot of the night, the point guard of your dreams. That's his fifth 40-point performance. One more of those, and he ties Bernard King. And I think it's valid to ask the question, is this the best free agent signing for the New York Knicks? Is this one of the best free agent signings in New York sports history? I'm not going to disagree with some of y'all that are saying that, because this guy is one win away from taking the Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals. They won over 50 games this year. They're a number two seed. I mean, if you told me that you have, I didn't have that predicted, you didn't have it predicted going into this season. And he's the reason. This guy is an MVP. I know he finished fifth. This guy is an all-star. Should have been a starter. I know. But this is the origin story. That's what I was talking about yesterday, if you heard my show, right? You don't realize it while you're in it, but they are building towards being a champion. And, I mean, if we'll see what happens. They got to win one more game. Let's not get ahead of ourselves and start talking about Boston, as I see the Knicks fans outside the Garden celebrating, we want Boston chance and Knicks in six chance. Have your fun. Have your fun. But as Jalen Brunson goes, this team goes. His foot didn't look sore tonight. He was a plus 31 tonight. They couldn't stop him. And if he has another 40-point game in Indiana, it is most likely Knicks in six. 877-337-6666. Avery in Manhattan, what's up, bro? You're back on the Fan.
Yeah, hi. It's been a little while, Keith. I'm back home now.
I heard you called John Sterling on Saturday.
Yeah,
so
I was going to tell you. I spoke to John Sterling.
I was listening.
Yeah, I'm glad you heard that. I spoke to John Sterling. That was super cool. The other thing I was going to say before I get to my point was, I was reading the New York Post on Sunday, and I'm flipping through it. Nope, I see myself on the Mike Vaccaro page.
I mean, you're lit. I mean, I heard you flexing to John, telling him about your position at school, man.
Yeah.
I want to be like you when I grow up, Avery. You got it.
I wanted to talk to him. Glad you heard that. But anyway, the reason I called was, everybody's saying the same thing, right? We hear the back and forth from everybody. Everybody's saying the same thing. Oh, the Rangers, blah, blah, blah. Is it going to be another collapse and all that stuff? And before I say that, I just want to say the Knicks, and I know it's not connected, but the Knicks seem to find that energy and that will to win and that will to keep pushing. And it's just, I feel like longer than my life, we've been seeing that these teams, they come in and the years they're good or the years they're even somewhat good, they can't make it all the way. And sometimes it's a reflection on talent. Sometimes it's less talent and more effort and attitude-based, or in the case of this current Rangers team, let's sit back, we're going to get it anyway, we don't care, even if the momentum shifts, we're just going to sit back and say, oh, well, we're just not going to put in the effort today because we don't feel like it.
I don't know if
I'm
that's what they said.
That's necessarily what happened, but that's what it looked like. And you can't be tired. Tired is not a legitimate thing in hockey. If you can get yourself going, because I heard a very interesting thing today on the, I think it was on Evan and, not Evan, sorry. Yeah, no, Evan, Evan and Tiki. I was about to say Evan and Roberts. I don't know what I was going to say. Carton and Roberts, I got confused.
Get it together, no, Avery. Come on.
With Evan and Tiki today, and they were saying, well, this team's already been tested. The push that they faced when they failed against the Devils, when they collapsed against Tampa Bay. This squad that we're saying is now the Rangers team for the past three seasons already collapsed. So why do they need to see failure again and overcome it? Where's the real adversity? How are they going to get better?
I don't know. I think we're quick to jump them. You know, it was a rough third period. They won the first three games. They're one win away from advancing. The Knicks just caught up to get the third win of their series. It was a rough two games. The Hurricanes are a good team. Like, we act like they're playing the Capitals again. Like, the Hurricanes are fighting for their lives, their seasons, and they were able to win two games. And you know what? They were in all of the three games that they lost. A couple things go their way. Maybe they would have had a win sooner. I'm not down on the Rangers. I think the Rangers can win it in six. I just think that, you know, they got got, man. They got got in that third period yesterday. I hadn't seen anything like that the whole series. It's just,
we've been seeing, it bothers me so much.
Let's say this. I think after watching the Knicks light up the Garden after the Rangers folded in the Garden and you saw people exiting the Garden after that third goal was scored in like 9 minutes in the third period, I think that the Rangers would be motivated. I was just thinking, I was like, I've seen the Knicks wear Rangers jerseys. I don't know who from the Rangers wears Knicks jerseys, but either way, go down to Raleigh, North Carolina, and end the series and come back home because we don't want to see a game seven. I think the Knicks and the Rangers can both win it in six. And if they don't, at least they fought to get the higher seed and have game seven at home. But that gets scary, man.
It gets scary. And when they just have to be super, super careful not to let the momentum shift. Because that losing game six, the whole series flips over completely. And the Knicks prevented that from happening tonight. The Rangers need to do the same thing.
I think they can. Thanks for the call, Avery. I'll say this about the Knicks, right? They've been doubted. And they're down. Guys, bodies, they don't have their full complement. Guys, it's the opposite for the Rangers. Right? The Rangers won the President's Trophy. The Rangers have one of the best teams. We think the best team. They have a bunch of guys. They have their full complement of guys and guys coming back that we thought were out for the season. It's the opposite. So they just have to wake up and be themselves. The Knicks, it's like, oh, well, everybody's ready to count them out. Oh, they lost OG. They're running out of gas. They're just not going to have enough bodies to do it. War of attrition. You know what? They're just not going to. And then they show up and show you we don't need but 5, 6, 7 guys. And it's good to see the guys off the bench, when called upon, be ready to go. Steve is in Munaki on the Fan. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Keith? What should I call it? The Knicks. You know, I love my Knicks. They look fantastic, and they were so good on the like rebounding end, and they look like the team that worked harder, that had more grit, and
that's been their identity all year. They showed up again.
They hit shots, but the one guy that I wanted to say that could be a huge guy in this whole run is Burks. I think that Burks can be a huge part of this run because he's a streaky shooter, and when he gets hot, that is some free points right there.
Yeah, he had a good game tonight. And you trade for him because he's a shooter, because he's a veteran, because he's been a Knick before, mm-hmm. and he's familiar with Tom Thibodeau. I like the game that he had tonight. I don't know if he'll be able to duplicate it. I don't know if that's going to happen in game six. But, yeah, he had five threes, and he ended up a plus nine with 18 points, 5 rebounds, and he just looked like a veteran. He looked comfortable. The moment didn't look too big, knocking down corner threes, and he's been very serviceable, or at least tonight, he was very serviceable off the bench.
Yo, why does the world hate the Knicks? We have lost for the past, like, I don't know, like 25, 30 years.
They hate New York. They hate the fact that, like, the Knicks have lost that many years, and they haven't lost fans. Look how many fans. The videos are going viral again, right? People are jealous of that. You did not see Indiana fans partying in the streets after they blew out the Knicks on Sunday. They're just not like that. They hate the way New Yorkers walk, the way we talk, our lingo, our energy, our vibe, our fashion, our music, our style. It's just like, it's envious. Like that's it. Even though the Knicks have been at the bottom of the league, even though the Knicks have not, you know, won in the lottery, even though the Knicks do not have a lot of winning in their history, they're getting hated on because they've been the LOL Knicks for so long, and the country wanted to see New York stay that way in the NBA space.
And that's a sad way to live your life. but on like another note, I'm not scared of who is in the next round because I feel like that this Knicks team can win a 7-game series with anybody. Because of Jalen Brunson, and yet they had a horrible game last game, but they're rock solid, and it's next man up, like it sounds so kind of whack, but like they are showing up and they are playing extremely well, regardless of what
they're
going on.
They're
and,
like a fighter. Someone compared them to Rocky. Thanks for the call, Steve. They're a fighter. They think they can beat anybody. You got to see me. You got to run my fade. Until you put me down, you can't put me down. You can't beat me. Do it. You know, and DiVincenzo even out there, he just was talking about they try to be tough guys. It's not their identity. He said no one's going to fight in the NBA. Just take the foul and move on. They're tougher than their opponents. They grind harder than their opponents. They're better conditioned than their opponents. And I told you guys, I was drinking the Haterade the night that Julius Randle went down. I thought that this team was going to fold without a guy that was a leader, an all-star, a huge piece of the team. Nah. And I retracted my statement after I saw them beat the Kings that night. I'm like, wait, these guys don't care. And they don't care what I have to say. They don't care what anybody at WFAN, TNT, ESPN has to say. They believe in each other and their style of play. And they'll get back to the drawing board and match up against whoever. And I think, obviously, the Celtics play tomorrow night. And they most likely close out that game at home and win that series in five. The Knicks don't care. I'm not going to tell you what the Knicks can or can't do. I'm just not built like that. I'm not going to tell you they can't beat the Celtics. I'm not going to tell you the Celtics are going to sweep them. Let's see it. 877-337-6666. I'll say good morning on the other side. 2 hours to go. KM to 2 a.m. We'll be right back.
It's Evan and Kiki. Afternoons on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
What happened yesterday was a disaster. And it was a disaster on a lot of levels. It can't be defined by one thing.
Stream Evan and Tiki live or on demand with the Odyssey app. And podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts.